Good morning. I'm going to start my stopwatch so I don't go too long. We'll see. My name is James Schaefer, if you don't know me. I'm a member here at New Hope Church. I also work here part-time. My fancy is too title. My title is too fancy for what I actually do. Mostly, I just try to help Matt however I can. So this morning, I want to share about New Hope Church. And starting with how my wife, Lauren, and I began attending. So when we got married, part of our new life together was finding a church where we both felt like we belonged. So we began church shopping. We bounced around each week, checking out a different church. We visited some larger churches, some smaller churches. We never really found one where we felt like we belonged. We heard about New Hope in a bit of a roundabout way. My wife's best friend from high school was in contact with a friend of theirs who moved out of town in middle school, who was living here in Baldwinsville, going to New Hope. And so my wife's friend, Lauren's friend, said, "Hey, you guys are Jesus people, right? He is too, and you're both in Syracuse. You guys should connect." So since he was attending New Hope, we were like, "All right, well, you know, we're looking for a church. Let's check it out." Now, at that point in our church shopping, we had had a few awkward experiences going to smaller churches. Usually, like it felt like when we walked in, it was like a spotlight came on us. It's like, oh, new people, young couple, new people. At one of the churches, we were even invited to join their softball team. And we're like, I don't even know if I'm coming back next week. I'm not going to sign up for your softball team. We had enough awkward experiences that we were a little leery of visiting small churches at that point. So much so that when we pulled into the parking lot here at New Hope, and we saw the building, and we saw the parking lot, and the car, you know, the number of cars in the parking lot, my wife turned to me and she was like, "Oh no, should we just leave? Like, we could go. They wouldn't even know we were here." But we didn't. We stayed. We met some people and got involved, and that was almost 11 years ago. We've had a lot of ups and downs here at New Hope. There were times where we thought about going, finding a new church, but we never did. And there are three main reasons why. One is the connections that we've made with people, the relationships that we've built. The second is that we knew that we and know that we can be involved here, that we can make a difference. And then the third and probably the biggest reason is Pastor Matt. We love the way that he teaches. He's so genuine and relatable. He's humble. We love what he teaches. He teaches us about loving one another, about loving God, about following Jesus. And finally, we love his heart for following Jesus. There was a Sunday, this was years and years and years ago, he came up here on the stage and he said, "I didn't prepare a sermon this week. I met this couple and I talked to them about Jesus over the course of the week and they're going to get baptized." And I just, like, to this day, like, I will never forget that, because to me, that is what it's all about. Like, it's not about putting on a good show on Sunday morning. It's not about having an entertaining speech. It's about Jesus. It's about following him. It's about making disciples. And so we just love his heart. Each of you have your own story for how you've come to New Hope this morning. Maybe it's your first time visiting us. Welcome. Hopefully our spotlight didn't get you as you walked in the door. And when my wife and I, whenever we talk to people and you know, we find out, like, "Oh, you've been coming to New Hope for a while. Like, why did you choose New Hope? Like, why do you, not to say it this way, but why do you keep coming back each week?" And a lot of times the answer we get is the same as ours. Like, you like Pastor Matt. You like the way he teaches. You like what he teaches. Well, after 13 years of hard work, including shepherding us through the pandemic, Matt's taking a short sabbatical. This is a great opportunity for Matt to step away from the day-to-day, spend some time with Jesus. It's a chance for him to recharge and refocus. I am personally so hopeful for what God's going to do in his life, in the life of our pastor during this time. And believe it or not, this sabbatical is also a great opportunity for us, for the body of New Hope Church. It's an opportunity for us to grow stronger and healthier. And I'm not just talking about after Pastor Matt returns. We're not just going to limp through the summer and wait for Super Matt to swoop back in and save the day. I'm talking about right now during the sabbatical. I read a book recently called Hidden Potential by Adam Grant. I'm going to read a short excerpt, there's a P in there, that I feel like describes our situation. In a study of over 28,000 basketball games, researchers investigated what happened to teams after their star players got injured. As expected, teams got worse. But once the star returned, they won even more games than they had before he was hurt. Why did losing their best player ultimately help them get better? Well, without their stars, teams had to go back to square one and search for new paths to success. They rearranged their roles to enable peripheral players to step up and drew up fresh plays to leverage their strengths. When the star came back, their shot balance improved. They were less dependent on one hero to carry the entire team. So these teams got better because they lost their star player for a time. In the book, he's got a handy diagram. Thank you, John. Kind of showing the evolution of these different phases. Those lines represent passes between players. So you can see that first block on the left, every time a non-star got the ball, pass it to the star. Get the ball to the star. Get the ball to the star. He's the one that's going to score all the points. Get it to him. Then when the star player was injured, they had to go back. They had to figure out how to play together as a team. They had to rebalance their passes, their shots. They had to draw up new plays, leverage their strengths. And then when the star got back, you can see it's a much more balanced, it's a much more healthy balance, not all going through one player to carry the team. But what I like about the description is you can tell that second phase was very intentional. They had to go back. They had to draw up new plays. They had to leverage players' strengths. And they emerged stronger and healthier. So I've taken the liberty of updating Adam Grant's diagram for our church. So we've got the pastor. And we've got the new hopers. I really struggled with what to call it, like members, congregants, but we're New Hopers, the people of New Hope. And you can see those lines, instead of represent passes, they represent loving one another. They represent care. They represent prayer. And you can see, you know, where we were a week ago, Pastor Matt pours so much into the people of this church. And we have some connections, but they're not as strong. A lot of it flows through Pastor Matt. And now we're stepping into this second box. And so now's our chance to be intentional. Now's our chance to enable peripheral players to step up, to draw up fresh plays, and to leverage our strengths. This will require us to be intentional. So this Sunday, I want to look at briefly who we are as a church and then how we can grow stronger. So who we are. We talked in the series on Acts that the word church doesn't mean the building. It means the people, the body of believers. We are New Hope Church. We are the church. And first and foremost, at New Hope, we are a church who follows Jesus. Jesus is our creator, our redeemer, and our king. In John 1, it tells us that Jesus was there at the beginning. He helped in the act of creation. Nothing was made except through him, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was our creator. And then we read in Genesis that we, humankind, we rebelled. We sinned. We decided to go our own way. And by doing so, that sin that we brought upon ourselves became a barrier between ourselves and God. But in that same first chapter of John, it says the Word became flesh. Because we were lost and we were condemned, but we were not forsaken. Jesus came to earth and he rescued us. He redeemed us. Romans 5 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And John 3:16, the verse that we know so well, says that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have eternal life. So we have been redeemed. And then finally, Jesus is our King. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He rules the world with grace and truth. If that sounds familiar, it comes from Joy to the World, Christmas Carol. It is my favorite Christmas carol for that reason, because Jesus rules with grace and truth. He is our King. He is our ruler. Our allegiance is to him and to him alone. He is the head of this church. He is the head of New Hope. So we are a church that follows King Jesus. And what does that mean to follow him? It's a much bigger topic than I can possibly cover this morning, but part of it means walking in obedience. It means following his commands and modeling our lives after his. Following his commands means that we are a church that loves. If you've been here for any amount of time, you'll be very familiar with these verses. I'm going to skim through them. But Jesus told a group of experts in the law that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Then later, just before he was condemned to die, he told his inner circle, his close friends, he said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." We talk a lot here at New Hope about up, in, and out. Up, loving up, loving God completely. In, loving one another correctly. And out, loving our neighbor compassionately. Those are the commands that Jesus has given us. Those are the commands that our King has left to us. Love is our identity. By this, they will know that you are my disciples. So we are a church that follows Jesus, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our King. And we are a church that loves God, loves our neighbor, and loves one another. Third, and this is less a question of identity and more just a statement of fact, we are a church that is growing. When Pastor Matt and his family came to restart the church in 2011, there were about 24 people attending each week. You can look around. There's well more than 24 here on a June Sunday morning. I've got a chart of our attendance, our monthly average attendance going back to 2019. You can see in 2019, we were hovering there about 100 people. Towards the end of 2019, early 2020, we started to grow, then poof, pandemic. We spent 2 months not meeting in person. When we got back to it, late 2020, most of 2021, a little shaky, a little rocky. But starting in 2022, when things started to return back to normal, over the course of 2022, 2023, 2024, we see gradual, steady growth. Will this trend continue? I don't know. God may decide that the best way that he can use New Hope is as a church of 100 people or 125. The numbers might plateau. They might drop. But based on what we've been seeing over the last couple of years, God is growing this church. So why is this important, and why do I bring it up? Why do I bring up attendance numbers? To answer that, I want to look at a parable that Jesus told his followers. I'm not going to read through it. I'll just kind of summarize it. But in Matthew 25, it's called the parable of the bags of gold or the parable of the talents. A master was leaving on a trip, and he trusted some of his wealth to three of his servants. To the first, he gave 5 bags of gold. To the second, he gave 2 bags of gold. To the third, he gave 1. And while he was away, the first 2 servants, they took the gold that he had entrusted to them. They put it to work. They invested it. They grew it, and they doubled it. So when the master came back, they were able to give him not just what they had trusted to them, but also double that on top. And the master had a similar response to each of those 2 servants. In Matthew 25, verse 23, we read, "His master replied, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness.'" So when we talk about the numbers, when we talk about attendance, it's not about trying to have the biggest church. It's not about for the sake of being able to say, oh, we're a church of 200 or we're a church of 300 or whatever it is. It's about being faithful with what God has given us. It's about having a bigger kingdom impact. The first servant and the second servant, they both doubled what their master trusted them with. But the first was able to bring his master 5 new bags, whereas the second was able to bring him 2 new bags. The first one had a bigger impact for his master. So growing as a church body means that we have the potential for a bigger kingdom impact. It means we're able to reach more people with the gospel. It means we're better able to serve our community in love. And it means being able to grow and mature more disciples for Jesus. But growing numerically also serves to highlight some gaps. It shows us areas where we need to grow stronger as a church body. So there are three areas I want to highlight that we can grow stronger together during this sabbatical season. Those areas are connecting, serving, and sharing. Starting with connecting. When I was in college, I was part of a campus ministry, and we had an outreach event where we wanted to make pancakes for people on the main drag of campus, cook them, hand them to students on their walk to class. We had everything set up. We had the table, we had the batter, we had syrup, we had plates, everything. We found an outlet, we plugged in a couple of electric griddles, and we got cooking. Except, none of the pancakes cooked. We poured them on, and we waited, and we waited. We turned the griddles all the way up to 10, and 20 minutes later, we still just had circles of batter. And we're like, what the heck? This is, like, barely warm. Well, the problem was we had too much plugged into that outlet. So we found another outlet, we moved one of the griddles, and once we did that, we were cooking. We were handing out pancakes, telling people about Jesus, trying to love on our fellow students. The problem was that each outlet only has a certain capacity. It could only provide so much electric current. If I'm getting this wrong, or you have questions about that, Corey Finch is an electrical engineer. He can straighten you out. Right, exactly. And it turns out people are the same way. People have a limited capacity, specifically a limited capacity for relationships. Anthropologists or scientists who study relationships, social networks, group dynamics, they have theorized that each person has the cognitive capacity for between 100 and 250 stable relationships. That number might be higher for some people, it might be lower for other people, but the point is, it's a finite number, it's limited. Pastor Matt is only one man. He only has capacity for so many relationships. I showed that diagram earlier with the before, during, after phases of sabbatical. John is on top of it. So that's pretty neat and tidy. Here's maybe a closer look at what that first phase actually looks like, if you want to go to that next. But it's not just four people that Pastor Matt's trying to love, trying to have a relationship with. It's not just 12 people like I have up here. It's over 100. And you'll notice that some of the people in this diagram don't have any connections to each other outside of Pastor at all. Their only connection to the church body is through Pastor Matt. So why is this a problem? These lines represent relationship. They represent connection. They represent fellowship, community, learning from each other, loving one another. Connection is such a basic human need. We were designed to be in community with one another. If we try to rely on a single person to be that connection for more than they have capacity for, it's like having too many electric griddles plugged into the same outlet. You're just going to have soggy pancakes. So what's the solution? Pastor Matt only has capacity for so many relationships, and we're a growing community. How do we solve that? Well, I'm sad to say, but some of y'all have got to go. No, of course not. I'm joking. Of course not. God has blessed us with an amazing, a growing, a vibrant church family. He's trusted us with this community. The solution is to build new connections. It's to strengthen the relationships that we already have. This is one of the reasons why I'm so excited for this sabbatical season. You want to go to the next one, John? We're in that second box. We have that chance to be intentional about building up those connections between one another. This is where we can learn to lean more on one another as we exercise those love one another muscles. This is where we can build a network of people who pray and care for one another rather than relying on our one, admittedly awesome, pastor. Now, I know this won't happen overnight or even over the course of 6 weeks. Relationships take time to build, but we can start now. We can start during this season. So how do we do this? A few practical options are, here at New Hope, joining a group. Matt Conlin is our group's team leader. We've got two different categories of groups that we have here at New Hope. We have connect groups. Those are really focused on the in, loving one another. Those are focused on building connections, building relationships, praying for one another, caring for one another. We also have growth groups. Growth groups have an in component. You'll get to know people, you'll build relationships. And they have more of an emphasis on the up part. Those are things like Bible studies, getting to know God's word better, loving God. So we have groups. We have men's and women's ministries. They put on events periodically where people can get together. Men can get together, women can get together, build those relationships, make those connections. And then we have Common Table, which is the first Sunday of every month. We get together here at the church, we share a meal, we pray, and we connect. As a side note, if you're interested in joining a group or starting a group, you can talk to Matt Conlin. You can fill it out on your Connect card, your interest, or go to our website and mark down that you're interested. But get connected. Some more informal methods are talking to people. Get together outside of church on Sunday mornings. Maybe ask someone to disciple you. Disciple is a very churchy word. In the business world, we call it mentor. Find a mentor. Find someone that you feel like you can learn from and walk side by side with. Whatever your approach, be proactive. Relationships take work, and they require us to be intentional. They don't happen by accident. Most importantly, be gracious with one another. Connections with other people may come naturally to some, Shelley, but for others of us, it's a little more difficult, so be patient. The next opportunity we have to grow stronger as a church body is in the area of serving one another. Early in our sermon series on the book of Acts, I was struck by the story of the 12 and the 7. The short version is people were upset because they felt like their widows weren't getting served the food that everyone was sharing. And so they brought it to the apostles, and the apostles said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." Not that serving tables was any lesser of a calling, but just that their role was to spend time in prayer and the ministry of the word. So they appointed 7 to take care of the people. And they said, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." Pastor Matt, in his role as the shepherd of New Hope, he has a lot on his plate. He is teaching, which is the most visible, the most obvious. That's getting up here on Sunday morning, sharing what he does, sharing the word of God. That's one of the things that he does. Second is congregational care. That's meeting with people. That's praying over them. That's giving counsel. That's visiting people who are in the hospital. The third thing is he does a ton of administrative stuff all over the place, like operating our website, setting up online streaming each week. He does expense reports, things like that, all the administrative things that keep a church running. And then he also does a ton for the facility. He's the point of contact for the guy that mows our lawn, that plows our driveway. When the code inspection officers come in, he's the guy that meets with them. Whenever they say, "Hey, you need another smoke detector," oftentimes Matt's the one that puts the smoke detector in. The new carpets that are in the nurseries, Pastor Matt put those in. Well, just like he has a limited capacity for relationships, he also has a limited capacity for something called time in the week. There's only so much he can do. There's only so much time in the week. And that's why Acts 6 really struck me. We want our pastor to be able to devote himself to prayer and to the ministry of the word. More of those first two bullets, the teaching and congregational care, and less of the second two, less of the administrative and the facility type work. So how can we make this happen? There are three bullet points that I've identified. First, build up our leaders. Second, fill in some gaps. And third is serving, owning a part of the ministry. First up, building up our leaders. We have a terrific group of leaders within our church. They've already stepped up in big ways leading up to Pastor Matt's sabbatical and into the first week. We can build them up by encouraging them, by trusting them and empowering them, and by praying for them. I would love to go through every one of the leaders that we have. We don't really have time for that this morning, but I do want to highlight a few. I want to start with our elders. We have four elders. Pastor Matt is one of our elders, and then we have three elected elders from membership. They're elected to three-year terms. So our elders are Matt Archer, Ron Bunel, Dave Gray, and Matt Houghton. These are the spiritual leaders of our church. They set the direction for the ministry of New Hope. They do congregational care. Maybe our Congress could use some care, but it's a topic for another time. They do congregational care. They handle all the people and ministry side of things. If you need to talk to someone, or if you need prayer, if you're interested in membership or baptism, you can reach out to any of our elders. And ladies, if you would feel more comfortable talking to another woman, you can reach out to their wives instead. We have all of their contact information out in the lobby. So let's lean on these leaders of our church. We have a governing board also elected to three-year terms. They're in charge of everything related to the finances of the church and any decisions related to the facility. We have a treasurer, assistant treasurer, secretary, Heather, Amanda, and Donna. If you have any questions about how the church runs, budget, any of those kind of things, you can go to any one of our governing board members. Sorry, Andrea, I forgot you on the staff page. You can go to the next one. We have four people on part-time staff. Andrea Kruel, myself, Kristen Janice, and Heather Conlin. And then if you want to go to the next slide, we kind of run like a team of teams. We have a bunch of ministry teams, and we have leaders in charge of each of those areas. I would love to go through and talk about what each of these teams do and highlight the leaders of the teams. We don't really have time for that. Our annual church meeting would be a great time if you wanted to come and get to know more about these teams. You can come then and learn more about what each of these great ministry teams does. You can go to the next. So we have team leaders. We have the leaders of our various kids and youth. They organize and schedule the teachers in the Sunday school classrooms. They run our youth group. So if you see these people, encourage them, pray for them. And next up, so I have that list of ministry team leaders up, and there are a few areas that I want to highlight where we don't have anyone leading. These are some gaps that we need to fill. Because when something happens in one of these areas, usually what happens is either Pastor Matt is the one that has to do it, or it just doesn't get done. So the three team leaders that we need to identify, one is community connections. Our vision for this person is someone who can be our point of contact with different ministries and outreaches in the area. There's a ton of ministries going on all over Baldwinsville, all over Central New York, doing excellent work. We'd love to partner with them. So this person would have that contact information, and they would come up and say, hey, Feed My Starving Children is looking for a group to do a service project on this date. Do we want to do that? They don't have to run the service project. They don't have to organize it. They just have to be the point of contact, to be that bridge between New Hope and the ministries that are already loving our community so well. Second is a property manager. Some churches call it like a trustee. This person would make sure that our building and grounds are cared for. They would own the fix-it list. When we have a list of things that need to get fixed, they would be the one. So that way when Pastor Matt sees something and he's like, oh, hey, we need to replace that paper towel dispenser. It's not Pastor Matt taking a screwdriver and going and fixing the paper towel dispenser. He can go to this person and say, hey, this needs to be done. And once again, the property manager, whatever we wind up calling them, they don't have to do the work. We have a ton of handy people here. We've got a ton of people who know how to use a screwdriver, who know how to fix things, who know how to build things. This person would just need to coordinate them to tap into that potential that we have at our church. And then the final one is a first impressions lead. Their job would be to help make sure everything runs smoothly on Sunday mornings. Once again, they don't have to do everything. They just have to coordinate our volunteers. They just have to make sure that all the gaps are filled each Sunday. Luann Abbott does a great job with our greeter team. Heather Darby does a great job with our cafe. Right now, we don't have anyone making sure we have parking lot attendance. Some weeks, that's definitely needed. As you can see by, you know, driving around looking for a spot. Closing up after the service, cleaning up after the service. Lee T2 usually just jumps in and volunteers. It'd be nice if he didn't have to do that every week. And it'd be really nice if Pastor Matt never had to do that. And ushers. Right now, we don't have anyone scheduling or coordinating ushers. So this person would really just be over this whole area, just to take that worry, take that concern off of Pastor Matt so that he doesn't have to worry about it. He knows Sunday morning, he just has to come in. He just has to teach us about God's word, and he doesn't have to worry about any of the rest. All right, to grow stronger in the way we serve one another, we need to build up our leaders. We need to fill in the gaps. And third, if you haven't already, I want to invite you to own a part of the ministry of New Hope Church. And I use that word own deliberately. Make it your own. Take ownership of it. There's a big difference between saying, this is the church that I go to, and being able to say, this is my church. I want to encourage everyone who hasn't already to take the step from passive attender to active participant. One way to do that is to serve. And serving at New Hope will look different for everyone. We're all at different life stages, different points in our walk with Jesus. We have different talents and abilities. Serving might mean joining one of the ministry teams that we listed. It might mean leading a growth group or a connect group. It might mean something as simple as being a prayer warrior or just being a good listener for someone who needs it. Those are all great ways to serve. You don't have to lead a team if you don't want to, and you don't have to commit to being here every Sunday, but find some way to serve in some capacity, whether you're teaching kids in the Sunday school rooms once a month or emptying an overfull trash can or just being a good friend. Because it feels good to serve one another. It feels good to feel like you own part of what we're doing here at New Hope. Serving one another is loving one another. The more people feel like they own a piece of the ministry of New Hope, the stronger we'll be as a body of believers. Finally, the last area we can grow stronger as a church is the area of sharing. By sharing, I mean spreading the good news about Jesus in Baldwinsville, Central New York, and onto the whole world. I mean the Great Commission, making disciples of all nations. There's a lot I could say about how our church can better serve our community and spread the gospel throughout Central New York. For the sake of time, I'm going to keep it pretty short. Just like our ability to love our neighbor flows out of the love that God pours into us and the love that we receive from one another, our church's ability to share the love of Jesus with the whole world and make disciples will flow out of the relationships that we build here and the way that we serve one another. The stronger we become in those first two areas, the more we'll be able to share the good news with our communities. I'm going to ask the band to come up as I wrap up this morning. So I talked about how New Hope, how our team will grow stronger the more we connect with each other, serve one another, and share together. But here's the thing. You'll grow too. As we build and strengthen our connections with one another, we'll learn from each other. And as we serve one another in love, we'll build each other up. And as we share in the work of the Great Commission together as a church body, we'll experience God moving in our community. So I'm excited for the sabbatical season. I'm excited for Pastor Matt, and I'm excited to see how New Hope Church grows stronger because of it. We've got a lot of great guest speakers lined up for the next several weeks. Dave Gray, one of our elders, he will be sharing with us next week about the way a pastor can care for his congregation and the way a congregation can care for its pastor. With that, we're going to end in worship.
Good job, Dave.
Stand with us. In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Let me pray for our church. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for these dear brothers and sisters. Lord, thank you for those visitors with us this week. Lord, just pray over Pastor Matt right now for the first week of his sabbatical. Lord, I pray that it would be such a time of spiritual and emotional and physical refreshment for he and for Shelly and for the girls. Lord, we just pray for a supernatural season of clarity and of healing for them. Lord, we pray over New Hope. Pray over the hearts and minds today as we are all challenged to just do what you have called us to do and be a part of the body, not to simply sit within it, Lord, but to be an active part in the ministry here at New Hope that is having such an impact on our families and on our relationships and in our community. We dedicate it all to you, to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.